ago. So today I'm talking to you guys about connecting between each other and with those that are out there. And so this past weekend, we had a lot of opportunities to talk about how we need to connect with each other because, you know, singles come to church for lots of reasons, but we come to connect. Well, good morning. Come on in, ladies. We'll take you. Look, we got two spots here. We got a spot here. Come on in. Because I'm going to have you do the block thing here in just a second anyway. Those of you who were in leadership yesterday, you know about the block. And it's a great way to create a real quick connection. But I was telling those who had not heard me this past weekend, I lead a ministry called the Singles Network. And I travel around the country and I work with churches and help build ministry, grow ministry, connect. Because singles ministry in most churches is a forgotten area. We outnumber married people in this country. But yet if you look at churches, we don't outnumber them in the church. Because a lot of churches kind of try to reach the traditional family. And now you have to almost define what the traditional family is. And so what's great about this church is that you have an awesome singles ministry here. I travel everywhere, and I don't see even close to what this is. So this is really amazing. So for those of you who are like, this is new, you haven't been anywhere, I don't know how you're going to top this. Okay? And for those of you that are in it and going, oh, gosh, sometimes I don't think we're doing a good job, or sometimes I don't think we're really reaching everybody we need to reach, you're doing better than you think. And for those who have been doing this a long time, remember, we got to train the next generation. Amen? So before we get started, let's open up in prayer. And I'm sure Pastor Raymond could do that for us. And then we're going to do a little quick icebreaker, okay?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. Father, I just pray that you would prepare our hearts and our minds right now for what the message this morning. And Father, Father, we just come to you in awe, Father, of your incredible, your graciousness, Father, your forgiveness, Father, for your mercy and your comfort. Father, I pray that in each of these lives that, Lord, you would just make your presence known to them right now. Father, we hold true to your word that where two or more gathered, you are there also. So, Father, we just welcome you into this room right now and into our very presence. Father, may everything we say and do honor you. We thank you, ask in your name.
Amen. All right, you see those little blocks that are on your table? What's great is the ones who did this yesterday will hopefully get a different block. Okay? What you need to do is you need to come up with six things about yourself. One for each side of the block. Okay? And it's not too difficult. You may think, oh my goodness, I can't do it. I can't do it. So you come up with six things. Like, here's an S. My last name is Swartaco. Five. There's five siblings total in my family. The sun. I can't be in it too much because I get really red. The door. I love to greet. And we got socks. I hate wearing socks. I own a ton of them, but I hate wearing them. And that's it. So, see how quick that was? Bam. Okay? So you got your six things? Okay, go ahead. Stand up. Stand up for me. Stand up. All of you, stand up. Come on, Miss Annette. Stand up. You got your six things? Okay. Get your block, Kevin. Get ready. Okay, go find someone with the same color eyes and share your six things. Go. 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 Share your six things. Yes, out loud. Out loud. Somebody with the same color eyes and share. What color eyes do you got? But that's good enough. There you go.
Okay. Wow.
Okay. sleeping all the night, didn't you? Well, I'm glad you're here.
I have two daughters. The person that told my last name.
Set up and had a block, and I was like, huh. And I went, oh, what if I could use it? Huh. And this holding this between you and me was like a protection for people. They felt like, you know, and they like to, everybody likes to talk about themselves, so.
I know.
So, and it allows, you know, older men to talk with young women in a safe way. It allows, you know, people who are new to feel included, someone wants to know something about, and you might share something like you're playing the guitar. You might talk to somebody else that also likes to play the guitar, and you're like, well, let's get together and jam sometime and just play, you know, whatever. But you're not going to know that if you don't have ways to make that. I mean, who's going to randomly bring up to play guitar? You know, so these are intentional. We're going to talk about intentional ways to connect. I heard you spat off some director stuff. I know you know you got to do this kind of stuff. Yeah. So, what? Say again.
And other ministries.
And then what I had them do, when we did the Navigate conference, I had them in the table. I had road cone, cars, little signs, because the theme was navigating your ministry. And then I had them make something with the blocks. And every person first did this, and then they had to include their block in the pyramid or the whatever, and the whole point was building the ministry, and everybody has to be included. That's cool.
Very good.
So people built towers, you know, some people spelled out words. It was good. Okay. You can have a seat.
Okay.
What's your name? Hey, Alyssa. Aren't you pretty? Look at this. Isn't she beautiful? Look at you both. Look at your, I love y'all's hair. It's pretty curls.
Yeah.
I checked. This hair, look at this.
Thank you.
Just like your teeth. Is still really good. These are from the Assemblies of God. They have a national director that does singles ministry, Dennis. And Dennis and I do some leadership training together. He's wonderful. They've got a wonderful website. My website is, we probably have together the largest websites for singles ministry that's out there to help you grow and build it. And I asked him if he could send me old, like if he has old ones, I hate seeing anything go in the trash. And considering there's no singles material out there at all anymore, all the magazines are gone. And so it's just great to be encouraged. Crosswalk is an online magazine. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. And they have a single section. And so I write for them every month. And Christianity Today used to have a singles channel. Cameron Courtney used to be the writer for that. And they dissolved that. And Crosswalk bought it out. So it's just, again, you know, the resources that are not there. So I've got extras of these. If you want to give them out, leave them in a bathroom somewhere, whatever. Put the name of your church on it. please give them out because we want to reach singles. Amen. Same thing here. If you haven't filled this out, if you want to be on my newsletter, it's for the leaders. You can fill this out. And if you're a prayer warrior, and I mean not just why is this, oh yeah, I'll pray for you. But you really like, this is God's called me to pray. I am spiritually attacked pretty much every week, and some worse than others, and because the enemy doesn't want me doing what I'm doing. So if you like to pray, you can mark that and turn it into me later. Well, cool. So let's talk about connecting. I gave you the green sheets on your table and the importance of connecting. I love your comment about Father's Day. My dad passed away about a year and a half ago, and I was very blessed in that I had two fathers in my life. I had the one that birthed me, and that I'm so thankful he birthed me, but I'm glad that he's out of my life. And that I had a new dad. I had my stepfather. And he came at a really precious time in my life because I was about 14, 15 and thought I knew everything. Yeah, that wasn't too long ago, was it? Okay? And I probably was like 30 before I realized I didn't know everything. And Henry was a wonderful, wonderful man who came into our family. He married a woman who was broken and hurt and abused and raised four children that weren't his and loved us and called us his children as if he birthed every one of us. And he taught me a lot about life. He taught me a lot about Christ. And he was the daddy I'd always wanted. I always wanted a daddy that wore a three-piece suit and carried a briefcase and came home every day at 5 o'clock because my father had never come home at 5 o'clock. He was in the military and he was gone all the time. And so Henry was, to me, represented what Christ would be. You know, his loyalty, his commitment, his love for my mom, and the fact of taking on a bunch of kids that weren't his. I think of Joseph in the Bible and how Joseph married Mary knowing that that child she was carrying was not his, and how that child named Jesus would never know that the love for him was no different than his siblings, and that Joseph would not treat him any different than the other children because nobody would know that it was not his child. And I think that's powerful for men in this world who will take on the responsibility of raising kids and even somebody else's kids. And so today, make sure that if you know someone, even maybe you have a stepfather that was a good stepfather, to tell them thank you for being a good dad. Henry was a big connector. He loved to connect people. He loved to greet people. He loved to make sure that you were where you needed to be in church. I met a gentleman downstairs named Milton. You know who Milton is?
Yes.
Yes. He showed me how to try to find this place. I said, Milton, how long have you been working the Welcome Center? He said, oh, a long time. And I said, are you by yourself? He said, yep. I said, well, what happens if you can't be here? Somebody else will come. I said, all right. I said, well, can you tell me where the singles are? He said, nope. He pulls out a brochure. He shows it to me. He goes, there they are. I said, well, what room is that? He goes, upstairs. I said, well, where? He looks over there. He goes, 102. Well, this is 222, so I'm assuming it's right up there. All right. Well, how do I get there? I'll take you. I'm not kidding. I said, well, Milton, what's going to happen if you leave your post? Who's going to be here to take your place? Well, I'll be right back. Half hour later, I don't... So he took me down the hall, and he got a little confused, and he saw the steps, and he was like, I can just take the steps. I'm good. And he's like, oh, no, we have an elevator. And he's like... And then he walks through the elevator, and I'm like, I'm good. I can hear him from here. And I loved his spirit. He couldn't hear me really good. He was a little confused, but I loved the fact that he walked with me. Do you see what I mean? He didn't just say, oh, it's over there somewhere. He walked with me. And for singles ministry, we have to come alongside people. We have to walk with them. We can't just point them to classes and say, I hope you figure it out. Or go sit at that table. We really have to make that extra step to connect them to each other. Can I ask you something? Is there a way to turn off the music? I hear it playing in the background. Can y'all hear it?
I can hear it now.
Okay, you're deaf too. You're tuned into me. Okay. Thank you. Sorry. It's just like, so, anyway, I love this. What, Stephen? What? Making you nervous. But I love this whole thing of connecting, because I'm going to tell you guys, you know, if people don't feel they belong, if they don't feel like they're supposed to be, they don't come back. And we know, like, just playing with this little game that you had, I mean, I already connected a bunch of you. You had things in common. Sherry and I were just talking about how, you know, she talked about playing the guitar and how random information that you don't normally just bring up in normal conversation. But now someone knows that she plays guitar, and maybe they play the guitar, and maybe they can get together and play together. The enemy's goal is to get you by yourself. Make it all about you. You have to make it all about others. Remember, our purpose is a relationship with God that glorifies Him, and out of that relationship, a relationship with others. So we have to find ways to connect to people. So today's talk is going to be a little bit on that, but I also want to get some of your ideas and some of your thoughts, too, on ways that you've connected with people, maybe creative, or some ways you'd like to connect, and also any dangers in connecting. Some of you are like, please stay away from me. So as people find common interests, they connect. We just did this, right? You talked about yourself, and you were able to sit there and go, oh, wow, you have kids, or you like to do this, or you have pets. And it creates immediate connection to that other person in ways you'll remember. I'm really big on icebreakers because I think singles, maybe all people, I don't really care about the rest of them, but all singles, they want a way to quickly and safely meet somebody else without it getting weird. How else would an older gentleman meet a younger person? How else will a single mom meet someone who doesn't have children except through like an icebreaker or some way to warm up, exercise, to connect? And it's a safe way because you never know what God is trying to put together. But it's hard when you come into a room, you just sit at a table, and you end up sitting with all your friends. You know, you sit with who you know because it's safe versus who you don't know. And we're bad about that in singles ministries. I call them holy huddles. You know, you end up going right back to the people that you know because you feel safe. And in ministry, we can't be about holy huddles. If you have a group of friends, well, then go and hang out with your group of friends. That's important. But when you come to Sunday school, when you come to a singles large event, we really want to be thinking, how can we connect to somebody else? Is there somebody we don't know here that we can go and talk to? Now, understand, you know, if you connect too much, they might chase you. They might follow you. So you have to find ways to do it in a safe way. I loved how this one lady, wasn't Bernie, he was in the classic, nobody's here in classic. There's a lady to the left of me who's an older woman. I don't know how old she was, but she said that she met somebody right at the door, and she immediately brought him in and introduced them to a male his age. And I love it because she gets the idea, like, I don't have anything probably in common with this guy, but I'm going to try to quickly put him with someone else. So one, he doesn't look like this granny what is after him. And then number two, to help him belong as quick as possible. So use simple ways to start a conversation. Hello, I don't believe I know you. People are so afraid to say that. You know that? You ever realize how hard it is to ask somebody, like maybe you don't know them? Or ask them their name. Are you afraid that they might say, well, I've been going to church with you for like 4 years. Why do you think people don't want to ask somebody their name? Or say, I'm not sure I know you. Why? Boy, y'all need some caffeine or something.
Stephanie's gone.
My answer is not the normal answer.
Go ahead.
Because I might put you in jail.
Okay, that would be not the normal.
District attorney.
Yes, that would be normal.
So, I don't like to ask people, especially if I think I recognize them.
But when you're in a singles group, let's look at Friday Night Live, and there's all those singles that are there. What keeps you from going up to some of these strangers and saying, hi, my name is Chris. It is nice to meet you. I'm glad that you're here.
It's easier for me to meet somebody I don't recognize and talk to them than people I recognize and I can't remember their names.
Ah.
I can't remember anybody's name. And I'm always like, they always remember my name. And I'm like, hi, how you doing?
That's why it's good to have name tags, isn't it?
No.
Yes.
Yeah, I still got
that. Some people get offended when I'm like,
you should know. That tells you the temperature of their heart, basically, when people respond that way, because it's all about them. But I always say, like, do I know you? Or I don't believe, have we met before? Or you look familiar, but I'm not really sure. You know, know, to be honest with you, everywhere I go, everybody's a stranger. It doesn't bother me a bit. And occasionally people will be on my email list or Facebook and they know me, but I don't know them. And they'll come up and say, I'm the one who commented on Facebook 3 months ago about such and such. Sure. Thank you. I have no idea who you are, but I appreciate it. But again, we want to create ways to connect, not to disconnect. So a lot of people come into our singles ministries hurting, lonely, disconnected. They don't feel they belong to the married group. They don't always feel like they belong to the single group because they've been married their whole life. They got financial issues, emotional issues. And so if we don't reach out to them, who's going to? The world. Because they'd love to have you. So let's keep going. Proverbs 22:2 says, rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is maker of them all. As we connect to more than one person, the higher chances we are connected if one person disconnects. So, come up here a second. Come here, Stephen. Yes. So, this is going to give you an illustration of connection. So, let's say, what do we have in common? Let's say we're both about the same height. So, I'm going to shake your hands. We're about the same height. Now, I want you to shake the hand of someone that wears blue because you really like blue. Okay? And then I want you to shake the hand of someone that has really, really pretty hair. Okay? And then I want you to shake the hand of someone that has a shirt that you'd like to own. Okay? Go ahead. And then I want you to shake the hand of someone that you'd like to date. No, I'm just kidding. So, and then I want you to shake the hand of someone. Let's see. Let's put your foot. Let's see. Put your foot next to someone that's wearing shoes. Okay? And then put your foot next to someone that's wearing white shoes. Okay? Okay, now, here's the thing. Let's say...
Thanks, guys.
Yes, human twister. Okay, put your foot next to the white shoe, okay? So let's say you disconnect from here, but the idea is that she's still connected to more than one spot. Now, this is a silly little game, a twister kind of thing. You all sit down. Thank you. But the point is, the more places we connect, the less likely when we disconnect from one of them that we're disconnected completely. So the more places we have in common. So if you're involved in the choir, you're involved in greeting, you're involved in serving in your Sunday school class, your kids are involved, etc., the more likely, if one area gets disconnected, you disconnect because your feelings hurt. I'm not going back. Whatever. You know, or you're not going back because God has taken you out of that ministry, or you're not going back because you have a sick child or a sick parent, whatever. But the more places that you're connected, the less likely the enemy is going to get you disconnected. But when singles come in and the only place they're connected is this class, and that's it, and life happens, they fall through the cracks, and we don't know what happens to them. And if we don't do a very good job of follow-up, and we don't do a very good job of calling and saying, hey, let's get a cup of coffee. Let's go hang out. Let's get a soda. We don't know what happens to them, and then we just kind of forget them. But when we make that effort, it makes a world of difference. We want people to belong. We don't want to just have people join. What's the difference between joining and belonging? What do you think?
If you join, you don't feel comfortable calling them up and asking when you need help. But if you belong, I remember back when I was single, and I had a leak. It's out by the road. We had to dig it up. The city was the only one with a perk, but they're not going to come dig it up. And it was going to cost me $80 for plumbers to come dig it up. I made one phone call to one person I knew, and there were 10 guys out there digging.
Wow, I like his phone number.
Because you belong.
Yes, because
he's
you belong. He's your husband. Wait, he still can't come out and dig a hole for me?
Well, he wasn't. It was just the one connection I had that
yes.
I felt comfortable enough to say, hey, I know I have your connection. Can you call some of the other guys out and see if anybody can come help me?
Yeah.
And within 10 minutes, all my brothers from the class, because
yes.
at that time we were a family,
yes.
came out, dug up the hole, found the part, took care of it all for me, and then came back and filled the hole in.
And do you remember what we talked about yesterday? It's not about the hole. What was it about?
It was about someone caring. About me.
And about relationships. And about the posse that came together to help and seeing each other help. It's never about the event or that. We get really focused on the events and forget about all the things that happen on the way to the event. People will plan conferences and they'll spend 11 months or plan weddings. Here's my pet peeve. Couples that plan weddings, their entire relationship is based on the planning of the wedding. And I'll say, listen, you only get 1 hour a day talking about your wedding. And the rest of the time, you just have to have a relationship with them. Because then they get married and they go, oh, I don't have anything to talk about. It's all done. Because their focus is so much on the event and not on the relationship that happens on the way up to the event. And Acts 2, 44, 45 says, all believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone who had need. Just like Annette is talking about. Well, there are three reasons why people don't come back to church. One is they don't come back because they don't feel led. Number two, they don't come back because they were holding out their hand and we got tired of feeling it. You know, we got people who just abuse the system and they don't work and they're lazy and they continuously expect the church to help them. And after a while, the church gets tapped out and the church has to help other families that really are in need. And the third reason they don't come back is because nobody talked to them. Nobody connected to them. Nobody emailed them. Nobody texted them. Nobody put their hand on their shoulder or gave them a hug or made them feel that they belonged. And, I mean, that's what they're here for. That's the number one reason why people do not come back, because they feel they do not belong. We have to help them belong. Romans 1:16 says, and you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Romans 12:5 says, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the others. So you're like a family, like Annette was saying, like a family, we all belong to each other. It's not them or me or the pretty girl or the cute guy or the one who's got money, the one who doesn't. We're one big family. You can't take it all with you anyway. I used to wonder why some Christians had a lot of money and some had none. And then I realized some Christians are rich to reach rich lost people. And some Christians are poor to reach rich to reach poor lost people. Some of us are tall, thin. Some of us are heavy. Some of us are different color skins. All of these are tools that God uses in order to reach lost people. Perhaps a wealthier Christian has a better way of managing their money. And as a result, that's why they have it. I don't know. But I do know it's hard to reach a rich person on the golf course if you don't play. You're like, oh, I'm just walking down the green. I ain't got no money, but I thought I'd just watch you play. I mean, you know, you have to be where God wants you to be in order to connect, to belong. But God's word says we're all together. We're one big family. There is no separation. Difference in joining in a ministry. You know, have you ever looked at a necklace? And like beads. I should have one with me. I always forget this. If you join, all you do is connect to the necklace. Okay? But when you belong, the necklace is connected to you. So then you're not only connected to the left, but you're connected also to the right. Do you see the difference? I can join anything. But who connects to me? So here's some steps in connecting people so they belong. And I want to hear from you guys here in a minute too. We're going to talk about our tables for a couple minutes. Your church or ministry must communicate its purpose. This helps me. I'm a visitor. I'm a guest. I'm new into your church, new into your ministry. Here's some things that are going to help me belong, okay? Who are you? That helps. Tell me your name. I don't know who you are. I don't want to wear a name badge. Well, it really helped me as the guest, because I can't remember all you people. Well, everybody knows me. I don't know you. And if I'm going to belong and come back, wouldn't it be great to know your name? Well, I'll introduce myself. I can't remember that. It helps to have a face with a name tag that I can connect the two and even maybe write it down, because I'm going to meet a lot of people. I can't remember everybody. One of my greeters, I shared this yesterday, the day before, one of my greeters refuses to wear a name tag. And he'll tease me and he'll wear one that says, Chris made me wear this. I keep praying for him, because I consider that rebellion. I consider that someone being totally disobedient, not to me, but to God. It's not about me. It's not about him. It's about God. We want to wear name tags so that we can reach out to other people to help them belong. Why are you here? What is your audience? What are your goals? What is the class communicating? Why are you having this class? You know, not every church needs to have a singles ministry, but we need to minister to singles. So when you're thinking about your class that's here, why are you here? Why do you have this class? What are you doing for? Are you really reaching people? Or is it just giving something for singles to do at this hour? In order to be drawn to your church or ministry in the first place, you have to have a sense of marketing from your website, brochures, word of mouth. I want to know that there are people here that look like me. I want to know there are people here that have a life like me. I want to belong. So what does that look like? I'm going to go to the website. If it's out of date or brochures, we talked about making some new brochures. Again, information to give people. Sherry talked about yesterday. Just have something to hand to somebody when you're out in public. If your purpose isn't clear, then all you're doing is contacting people without connecting to them. Do you hear that? If your purpose isn't clear, all you're doing is contacting them, but you're not connecting them. I shared this yesterday that if a train wreck draws a crowd, it's not about numbers. It's always about a relationship. It's not just about yelling and screaming, come and join our singles ministry. But when they come, what are we doing with them? Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. You have to be intentional about what you're doing. You have to want to reach people in your community. You have to make efforts. You can't give up. Just because it's not going the way you wanted to go, or you missed somebody, or you forgot to greet that person, or you forgot to call, keep going. Oh, okay, the world won't end, the person won't die, you know. Don't give up. Got to be very, very intentional about what you're doing. Mark 9:41 says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name belongs because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. You have to be strategic. You got to plan your direction by praying first. Do we pray before Sunday morning that who God is going to have us meet? Who God is going to have us talk to? Do we pray for those that are guests? You ever think about standing downstairs and helping the greeters? Because the ones I saw were about 1 foot in the grave. They need some young blood down there. They need some energized, happy, sweet, smiling faces welcoming people into this church. Do you know over half the people that visit on Sunday mornings are singles? But if they come and see one demographic of people, it's kind of a turnoff. You need to have a variety of people greeting to meet a variety of people that come in the door. What an opportunity for you guys to go down there and be a part of it and helping connect people that maybe are sitting in the pews that don't even know about your ministry. You have to be strategic. Pray and ask the Lord, Lord, use me today. How can I be used, Lord? Lord, I pray that you bring somebody into my path that I can talk to today. I don't want to get nervous, Lord. I don't want to be afraid to ask them their name. I'll just say, hey, my name is Chris. I don't believe I know you. And then let God do the rest. We get safe. We sit in the same places in our church, the sanctuary, and the same seats in the sanctuary, and we're so afraid to go talk to somebody we don't know. And the enemy, man, he's all over that. He doesn't have to get you not to connect outside. He has you not connect inside. We got to spend time with each other to discuss ideas. Talk about ideas among yourself and say, what are some ways that we can reach some new people? What are some creative ways that we can do this? Thought about maybe hanging out at the local Starbucks or other coffee shop. Years ago, a friend of mine used to have a laundromat ministry. He said, pretty much everybody in the laundromat is single. You know, they're all in apartments, or they're all in houses that don't have wash machines. He goes, I just go there and hang out, wash clothes really slowly. He goes, I'm sure some of them were thinking, well, how many clothes does he have? He goes, sometimes I'd wash the same set of clothes 2 and 3 times just so I can spend time talking to people. Isn't that cool? What about the clothes? It's about the relationships. Network. Try. If you don't succeed, try something else. If it doesn't work, you know, who cares? But keep track of them so you know what works. If you guys are out giving water bottles in the park trying to reach people for Jesus, but you don't know, one person comes back, that may not be the right method. You know? You know, a lot of people get that, oh, we're going to go get water to drink. People that are really thirsty. Are you going to share your faith? Oh. You going to witness? Oh. You know the steps of salvation? Oh. What happens if they say, no, thank you? Oh. All of a sudden, you're just handing out water bottles. Well, guess what? Lost people can do that. They didn't take any effort. We want to be intentional and strategic of why we're giving that water bottle to someone. It's because of Jesus Christ. There's a church in Alabama. I call it the Red Dot Church. They're really not called the Red Dot. They're called Eden West Baptist Church, outside of Montgomery, Alabama, right? Or no, Birmingham. And they wear, were you there when I was talking about this, Haven? They wear these little red dots on their glasses and on their watches, and there'll be maybe a red dot on their car, or, And so people go, you know, you got something right there. You need to get you flick that off, you know. And they go, no, it's a red dot. It's there purposely. And they're like, why? You know, were you Indian or something? You know, wrong place. And they said, no, it represents the blood of Jesus. The drop of blood that he died for you. And the whole church has been doing it. And he took all of these people in his church that were afraid to share their faith and helped them to create a bridge, a conversation starter to people. Isn't that cool? So it's so funny. I was in Walmart and I had the red dot. And she goes, oh, you're from the red dot church. I don't even think she knew the name of the church. But it had become so well known as the red dot church. And I thought that was cool. Hearing a series of understanding, hearing all this is just the first step. It's the next step that counts. What are you going to do with the information you learned today? How are you connecting to others? How are you personally connecting? How are you making new relationships? How are you rebuilding old ones? And are you modeling this behavior to others? And realize some relationships got to go to build new ones. You know that? Sometimes God takes away people out of your life and you don't know why. And you're over there with a crowbar trying to rebuild it. You're like, I'm going to find out why she's not calling me back. Maybe you didn't do anything wrong. Maybe God is just getting rid of one so he can bring some new ones in. How many friends can you have? Well, on Facebook, I guess you can have pretty much as many as you want. But how many do you actually talk to on Facebook? How many people do you actually engage with? I have one chick goes, don't you know what's going on with my life? Haven't you been to my Facebook page? I'm like, no, not really. Unless it comes through the feed, I don't even know what anybody's doing, right? And so you have to intentionally go to all of these people's sites to see what's going on in their life. And you can't. You can only handle what's in the circle, like the disciples, like 12 people. You know, and then you got your real close ones, your buds, your Peter, James, John. And that's about it. So if I'm going to continue to minister and pour into new people, some of them got to go. And you have to just allow the Lord to tell you which ones those are. John 8:47 says, he who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Whew. That's scary, isn't it? The reason you can't hear, you're not his. So here's some ways to reach others in your community. You guys know this. Word of mouth, website, community events, you set up a booth, sponsor an event, dot the highway, walk-a-thon, apartment parties, people's pools, of course, don't wear bikinis, bar party, give out hot dogs outside a bar, or give free rides to those drinking. Wouldn't that be an awesome ministry? Go pick up drunks, carry them home. Of course, they might not remember much, but, you know, Jesus loves you. But it's a ministry if you want it to be. Give away hot dogs or water on the beach, a lake, free car wash, oil change day, trade day, free movie night. Give coupons to people you work with. Get a movie theater or church to have a movie night. Easy ways to connect people in your community. Here are ways of connecting them in your church. Greet. Just like I was telling you about, I had this lady who I used to greet on Sunday morning in the front, and every week she'd come, and I'd go, well, it's nice to meet you, and I said, you know, you look so much like my sister-in-law. I said, one of these days, I'm going to bring a picture of her. So eventually, after a month of telling her that, I brought a picture, and she couldn't believe she looked like my sister-in-law. And it created an instant kind of warmness, an instant that she felt comfortable talking to me. And I kept saying, boy, I'd really love you to come to Sunday school. Because Sunday school is where you grow. We found that over 5 years, if people don't attend Sunday school, 95% of them are not in church anymore. But those who attend Sunday school, 95% are in church. So I knew that's where she was going to grow. So I kept inviting her. Well, one day I was on the side door greeting, and she was coming in. She goes, Chris, we want to tell you that we joined a Sunday school class. I'm like, oh my God, that's so great. A few weeks later, she said, Chris, we like to serve. How can we serve? I said, well, that's a loaded question. I said, well, I could use a greeter. She said, great. I don't know what to do, but I'll do it. Put her on a door. A few weeks later, she says, Chris, you know, when I first did this, I felt like, you know, I wanted to do this for you. She goes, now I've decided I'm doing it for God. She goes, I want to be on doors every Sunday. And so now she does all four Sundays. All because that initial connection of greeting her, putting my arm around her, finding out some information about her, inviting her, following up with her. So in the process, I became also her prayer connector. She said, Chris, I really could use some prayer from a woman to a woman. And I called her, and for every Tuesday we prayed through her job and her situation to where she made other connections and I could pass her off to someone else. Because again, I can't be friends with everybody. But now she's got more than one connection. And so she's invested now, and she belongs. So here's some more. Introduce yourselves. Wear a name tag. Sit with the guests and those you don't know during worship and events. Ask open-ended questions. Network people by what you learn about them. If you know somebody's a single mom, introduce them to another single mom. You know somebody drives a tractor, introduce somebody else. Someone likes the University of whatever that's here. Introduce them to someone else, etc. The more information you can find out about them, like what brought you to our church or what brought you to our city? Oh, I work at the local such and such. Really? So does somebody else. And you can instantly create a connection that will then hopefully more connections that they'll stay. So here's a spiritual gift survey. Follow up quickly. Don't wait for 3 or 4 weeks to contact somebody. And please know it's not the job of the leaders to always do the contacting. You guys can contact too. You guys can say, can I give that person a quick email and let them know that we're thankful that they came to our class? Because don't you like it when someone does that to you? Some of you may say, well, Chris, nobody really ever calls me. You know, I've come to this church and visited several times and nobody's really called me. Well, you know what? Maybe that's why we need some money to be the caller. Why don't you join our singles ministry and it'd be your job? Right? Stop complaining. Why don't you be a part of the solution instead of part of the problem? So here's the standard ways we follow up. Phone, Facebook, postcards, visit them. Wow, what a concept. Creative ways, a personal postcard with their name on it. Drop off a gift bag with some bread or music or a t-shirt. Give them a free lunch coupon for your next visit. Give them a pounding. We talked about this yesterday when you give them a bag of groceries. They're new in town. Buy them a bag of groceries. Give them a DVD with information on the church. Have others contact them too. You can say, Annette, do you mind contacting Susie Q? She's a single mom and I'm going to call her, but would you call her too just to let her know that we care about her and we miss her? And then send them information on other areas of the church. If you know they have kids, send them information on the children's department. If you know that they are interested in men's ministry, send them information on that. Repeat follow-up will be necessary for me. You got to repeat it over and over and over because some people, one connection is not enough. I like to keep a journal too of who I've contacted or who other people have contacted so I don't like, you know, well, we're so glad you visited. You're like, somebody already said that to me. Oh. Well, I hope you come back. I've already been called 3 times today. We have a little bit of a system. We know who's calling who. And you got to model it, guys. And it's not all of you are in leadership. Sometimes maybe this is your first Sunday here. But just like your walk as a Christian, you have to model it. You have to disciple others. So we're always teaching the next generation of how to reach lost people, how to reach saved people, how to reach people that are searching for a church. We have to teach that and model it to others. We have to communicate it over and over, the goals of your ministry. Share information about new people. Be sincere and honest. And here's really important, guys. Ask yourself if you really do care at all to reach anybody. Because if you don't, then I would question where your heart is. Because somebody reached you. 99% of people, how they come to a church, because somebody asked them. So why would we want to ask somebody? You understand? Spend time with people. Discourage those holy huddles where everybody comes in. It's just our little group of family. Listen to each other. Encourage folks to connect. Psalm 144:1 says, praise be to the Lord my rock who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. And then finally, I know we run out of time here. What about those who attend but aren't connecting? Well, you got to spend time with them personally and find out what's deal. What's up? What's going on? Why haven't you come back? Gotta find out. I don't know. They just didn't come back. I email them every week. They just don't ever come back. Maybe you need to call them on the phone and talk to them. Maybe you need to visit them. Be prepared to ask them why they aren't involved. Sometimes it's personal reasons and sometimes nobody asks them. Find out if you can help them connect by asking them for their help in an area. Ask them if they've taken a spiritual gift survey. Pray with them. Prayer is so important. Don't Don't just say, oh, I'll pray for you. Pray right then for somebody. Don't wait. Pray right then. Follow up with them on things you've talked about and prayed about. If I prayed with you last week, Sherry, about something, I need to call her and say, well, how did that turn out? What's going on? What happened as a result? What else can we continue to pray about? That's going to make a huge difference in her life because she knows that I care. Affirm positive behavior. When we see people connecting and not just sitting in their little group of friends, say, that's awesome that you talked to somebody you didn't know. That's awesome that you made that connection. Affirm that behavior so they keep doing it. Just like you have kids, you got to affirm it, right? Discourage the bad behavior and affirm the good behavior. It's so good that you picked up your clothes. It's so good that you picked up your toys. Versus, they got your toys. Right? Smack, pick up your toys. Smack, go greet that person. Smack, go work your name, put your name tag on. I'm just kidding. And here's the thing. If they're still not involved, they continue to be sporadic in their attendance, wait on God to release them from you and move on to the ones who want to be here. Can't make people come if they don't want to come. 1 John 2:19 says, they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. If they had belonged to us, then it would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. Okay? So there's a point where, you know what? 10 phone calls, they're not calling you back, pretty much probably need to move on. Maybe give their name to somebody else. But there's a point where God is saying, you know what? Focus on the ones you got versus the ones you don't got. Because we're trying to get people that maybe just don't want to be here. We're missing the ones that do want to be here but need a little extra love. Need a little arm around and a hug and a prayer. So if you really create a place that's warm, welcoming, people belong, I promise they'll not only come, but they'll serve and they'll make a change and help the lives of others. I promise. Amen? That was a lot crammed. I'm sorry, but I had to speed it up towards the end. But you've got the notes. And so what I was wanting to do, do we have any more time left? We have even 2 minutes left?
We have about 5 minutes.
What I want you to do at your tables is I want you to discuss anything that we haven't. What are some other things that you've done to reach out to people? Anything creative or maybe something that somebody did to you that you really liked? It doesn't have to be this church. It could have been another church. It could have been another singles class, or maybe it's just general church. Did anybody do anything beyond what I shared? Just talk for a couple minutes at your table.
Okay, y'all.